When Jordan Love has had the opportunity to face a team twice, especially a team that got him the first time around, he has absolutely flourished. But now he goes from hunter to hunted as he lit up the Bears the first time these two teams played. And now the Chicago defense is playing great. How does he handle this new scenario? Plus, our pal Lily Zhao joins us to talk about a monster win against the Vikings and look forward to Packers Bears. All of that on today's Locked On Packers.
You are Locked On Packers, your daily Green Bay Packers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at Game Time. Last minute tickets at the lowest price guaranteed. Download the Game Time app today. Create an account and use the code Locked On for $20 off your first purchase. There have been now three games in Jordan Love's career where he played a team and struggled and then came back and flourished. We've seen this three times now. Sunday is just the most recent example. It started with the Chiefs because his career started with the Chiefs. Now, the 2021 version of the Chiefs, not exactly the same as the 2023 version, but this 2023 version had a really good defense. And that matters in all of this. Plus, it's the same coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, with the same approach. Now, he did not take the identical approach the second time around, but same basic philosophy. The first time they played, think of the narrative that came out of that one. Oh, Jordan Love. Can't do it. Not a franchise quarterback. Deer in headlights. All that stuff. Minus 0.03 EPA per play. A negative overall total EPA. The next time he saw the Chiefs, they had a plan for the pressure. He got the ball out, attacked vertically, and had, frankly, one of his most spectacular games as a pro. 0.38 EPA per play. Almost 16 total estimated points added, and easily outplayed Patrick Mahomes. By the way, he's outplayed Patrick Mahomes twice now in his career. The Lions, same deal. First game, didn't play great. Second game, he's awesome. Multiple touchdown passes, big time throws, handled all of the pressure, and it was the same sort of thing. They went into that Lions game, and I wrote about this today at The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. They were feeling good, 2-1, could reasonably be 3-0. And instead, they go in and they get their butts kicked by the Lions. Narrative shifts. Okay, the Vikings. The first time they play the Vikings, they lose. Jordan Love plays like poop. Does not play well at all. That is my official professional opinion. Minus 0.18 EPA per play. Minus 9.6 total EPA. Really, really quite bad. And not as bad as the Lions game, though. Then comes back on Sunday and puts together his most complete performance, for me anyway, as a pro. Because it's against the best defense he's faced, a defense that absolutely put him in a blender the first time around. He made the adjustments. He and Matt LaFleur made the adjustments, and he looked comfortable. Now, as he sees more things, he's going to get more comfortable. He's proven that. That is the idea. That's how you hope it works, but it doesn't always just turn into these perfect examples. And this is just another time. We talked, I think it was last week, about the plays Matt LaFleur singled out. Misses the throw to Jaden Reed, comes back, makes the throw to Romeo Doubs. Misses the throw to Samori Toure, comes back, same kind of throw, makes the touchdown pass to Jaden Reed. And Matt LaFleur is calling plays, believing his quarterback is going to make the throw the second time. Miss it once, okay. Now come back with the second time you make that play. Now, three times it's happened where Jordan Love has played a team that he gets to play again. And he played like crap in the first three of these games. Did not play well at all. Some extenuating circumstances, of course. But now, he gets to face the Bears again. If we extrapolate, he's going to have like a perfect game because he was unbelievable the first time around, especially on third down, making all the right reads, all the right throws, and they lit up the Chicago Bears. This is not the same Chicago Bears defense. And that's an important caveat to add here. But they've also not been playing the highest levels of competition. Justin Herbert torched them. Patrick Mahomes beat them up. Derek Carr even. And Jordan Love, of course. The last 6 weeks, they've been playing Bryce Young and Taylor Heineke and Jared Goff twice. Jared Goff got them the first time and only didn't beat them the second time because Jared Goff couldn't stop fumbling. It hasn't exactly been a murderer's row of quarterbacks. The good quarterbacks have taken apart this defense over the course of the season. But now Jordan Love has to face a team for the second time that he dominated the first time around. This is, ironically, the first time he's had to do that. And this will happen again, right? Because next year he will play again some teams that he looked really good against the last time that they faced him. And the only time, for example, like the Lions, he's gone twice now, but different outcomes in each of them. So, okay, the next time he faces the Chiefs, that's going to be a different thing. Does Steve Spagnuolo have a different approach? We'll see. But this is a new challenge for him. And what a fitting coda it would be on this season when you start the season with low expectations nationally, not on this show, not on this show. We said 10-7. And if they don't blow the game to Tommy DeVito or the game to Desmond Ridder, maybe they are 10-7. And a playoff team, potentially. That was the expectation on Locked On Packers. Just remember that. And they come out and they blow the doors off the Chicago Bears. Well, the Bears have said all the right things. They've been playing good football, defensively especially. They want revenge. So now how does Jordan Love react in this spot? If it were the last guy, we know. Because we saw him do it over and over and over. Rip this team, their hearts out on a regular basis. So, just like last week was the next big challenge for Jordan Love, now he has yet another one. And if they win, he'll have yet another one in the postseason. But that's what makes this so fun, is he went from a guy 2-5 after the Vikings game. It was over. Okay, Jordan Love confirmed bad. That was the Arif Hassan tweet, who covers the Vikings, is on Locked On Vikings and the Vikings postgame, all that stuff. The good news is Jordan Love confirmed bad. Nope. And he proved it. And maybe the game that solidified it is against the Vikings, who have one of the five best defenses in the league by DVOA. In a must-win spot. Now another must-win spot. Got to get to the postseason against a division rival, a team that the Packers have owned over the last 30 years. Ownership transferred from Favre to Rodgers. Now we'll see if it transfers to Love. And he gets to say, okay, now when someone is gunning for me, and I've had success against them, and they're playing well, how do they change their approach? They're the ones counterpunching. In all these other instances, the Packers were the ones that had to find the answers. How do you find answers against Steve Spagnuolo? Coincidentally, very similar to the way you find answers against Brian Flores. How do you find answers against the Lions? Well, that one didn't take that much effort. Just play a little better. Just block a little better. But now, you have to anticipate, if you're Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, the counterpunch and be ready to counterpunch the counterpunch. And so, this is an unfamiliar position to be in. How do they handle it? That will, to me, ultimately decide this game. All right, our pal Lily Zhao coming up here in just a second on Locked On Packers. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at Game Time. You should not have to stress when you buy tickets, but there are so many reasons to if you go to the wrong place. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you with killer last minute deals, all in prices. That's a big one. Views from your seats and their best price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. How many times have you gone to buy tickets and you go, oh, I'm getting a great price. And then you get to the checkout and it's processing fee, service fee, seat fee, this fee, that fee. What? I want to know how much it's going to cost when I click on the ticket. Game Time gives you that transparency. Download the Game Time app and create an account and use the code LOCKEDON for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code LOCKEDON for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets at the lowest price guaranteed. And thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. Locked On Sports Today, here for you 24/7. Covering the top sports stories of the day with the local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports Today on YouTube and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel. For a couple weeks there, we were talking about losses and then finally a win that kind of felt like a loss. But on Sunday night, the Packers rang in the new year with a Minnesota beatdown. Lily Zhao from Fox 6 in Milwaukee joins me now. And Lily, it's 2024. The Packers are winning in against the team that I think Packer fans want to beat more than any other team in a situation like this in particular. How you doing?
I am doing well. I'm coming down with a little bit of the cold that everybody gets to start the new year, but I'm happy that it's 2024. We turned a page to a whole new year of hopefully fun. And like you mentioned, it's just a great way to start the new year with a win, and just the way that they won, I think is just the most satisfying thing. But I am doing well. How you doing?
I'm good. No champagne flu for me either, luckily, though that certainly could have been on the menu. I had to work, so did not get to enjoy that one as much as, at least from a imbibing standpoint, as I might otherwise. So a lot to talk about, I think, from this Vikings game that I want to get to here and get a little bit of this Bears team in, but I don't know how we could start anywhere other than what Jordan Love did on Sunday. And it just seemed like such a fitting next chapter here, Lily, with the development that he's made. Because the last time these two teams played, the Packers fell to 2-5. And it just seemed like Jordan Love was not going to be the guy at that point anyway, that we thought maybe he could be. What stands out to you most about what we saw Sunday?
I think just how comfortable he looks. Right. He commands the huddle. He looks just so much more poised, polished, in command, confident. And that's exactly what you want to see from your quarterback this late in the season. And I think it really just does help him, the fact that he has seen this team before earlier in the year, just like when they played the Lions on Thanksgiving. It's like he's seen this defense before, so you knew what to expect. And I know both teams weren't at full strength, but what he was able to do to that defense, he handled the pressure well. He made some significant throws, whether it was off his back foot or doing jump passes. He was wheeling and dealing, slinging the football over the field, and just making the plays that we expected him to be able to make. But I just think it's just the confidence level in Jordan Love that we've seen from week one to now that is just night and day. And he is just playing lights out. And it's kind of an interesting feeling where, for me, watching the Packers play, it's more of, I'm just expecting them to go down the field and score. Whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, I'm just now at this point where I'm expecting them to score on every single drive. Because they're at that level now where they've gotten so much better with everybody, offensive line, receivers, tight ends, running backs. It's just at such a high level now that it's just so much fun to watch. But just the progress Jordan Love has made has been just so much fun to watch, Peter.
Yeah, and we talked about this last week. Matt LaFleur talked about it. Like he made the touchdown throw to Romeo Doubs was the one he missed to Jaden Reed against the Bucs. The touchdown throw he makes to Jaden Reed is the one he misses to Samori Toure a couple weeks before. And this is the second example now. He gets to play a team the second time that he struggled with the first time, and he lights them up. I don't know, like, sometimes growth and development, especially if you ask Bears fans, is just really a vibes thing. It's just, oh, he feels better. I feel more confident watching. No, we have tangible evidence. Like, watch, look at the productivity. I wrote about this today at The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. And like, it's just a really cool thing to do. And I've sort of run out of superlatives here, because I'm just, you mentioned the idea of not being like expecting them to score, but I still, that's true. But then I think about that and I go, how can that be? How, like, it's still sort of, I'm unnerved by it all, because it's so surprising in a lot of ways.
It really is, because again, 2 months ago, I think we were talking about, are they going to get this offense going? Because it was tough, but it just,
we're doing Drake May jersey swaps, Lily.
Right, I know, and we're just, there's something that's just flipped in everybody. Where you have Tucker Kraft, who is just playing so well. Unreal. You know, you see Aaron Jones and just his effect on the offense. And yep, again, you have Bo Melton coming in for 6 catches, 105 yards, and a touchdown. To, you know, granted, guys are out, but you have guys stepping up and filling in, and they're still playing out of their minds. So it's, no matter who was on this field offensively for this team, they're getting things done. But I want to give props to the offensive line. I think it was a struggle for them early in the year, especially when they played the Vikings last. They have stepped it up big time. And I think their play has, I think, really elevated as well. So props to them. It's just, this offense is fun to watch, Peter. And to think that they haven't even gotten to where they want to be yet, like, the ceiling is still high for this team. It's just going to be like, what else can they unlock?
And they don't even have their guys. That's the other part of this. It's like, okay, no Christian Watson, no Luke Musgrave, no Dontavian Wicks. Nah, ho-hum, just 30-plus against one of the best defenses in the league. And it seemed totally normal. And to Matt LaFleur's point, like, they can play better. There were still some points that they left on the field. Aaron Jones is someone, I'm so glad you brought him up. He said something in the production meetings that they mentioned on the broadcast, that he told them, I can change this offense. I can give us this extra gear. I had never heard Aaron Jones say anything like that. And it really stood out to me, because it seems like he has taken a different role on getting in a fight after the game when things got a little chippy, and is telling, I forget, the defensive back, Andrew Booth Jr., to hold this L, giving him the L. Like, this is a different Aaron Jones. I am so here for it. Why do you think this is a different version for him?
I don't know, but I love it, because I think for him, it's just being able to be kind of a cheerleader for his guys, right? He's been out for a lot of games this year. Going from that to being like, I just want to play so bad, and I know that when I get on the field, I can make this offense so much better. So I think it's just him stating facts. Like, it's true. I mean, and he's finally able to go out there, go from the kind of the cheerleader guy in the sidelines being injured to now, you know, he's back and he's able to produce. But I love it, because again, you want that just authority from your leaders, and he's not only bringing it, he's actually backing up the talk, right? And we love to see that fire and passion from Aaron Jones, because kind of how he goes is how this young offense goes. And just leading by example and just saying, listen, I can make this offense so much better when I'm there and delivering, that just says a lot. And just, you know, his leadership, I think, just whether he's on the field or not, just provides so much for this team. And I loved that you brought that up, because I loved hearing that from Aaron.
When it was reported on the broadcast, I was kind of floored by it. And it is really cool. The other side of this is when you have a leader who gets suspended for a game, and a game where you have to play Jordan Addison, you have to play Justin Jefferson, understanding that you're also playing a rookie quarterback. We have talked seemingly every week over the last month about the Jair Alexander situation seeming weird. This now comes to a head. What did you make of the suspension initially? And what did you make of Matt LaFleur saying, hey, I think this is going to be better for everyone. I think this is going to make our relationship better. The Packers seem to be saying all the right things about, we want to make this work moving forward here.
Right. And I think that's what they're hoping does happen, because just listening to what Matt LaFleur said, obviously, them suspending Jair for a game wasn't solely just because of the coin toss. And I think that might've been kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. Because again, you can't just have players doing whatever they want. You know, that just leaves a certain sort of look, right? So maybe it just was kind of an amalgamation of everything that was happening this season. But I think for Jair, if him and Matt LaFleur, what Matt said was true, that they had a very productive conversation that morning, and they feel like this relationship is moving forward and better, I think that's just good overall. And I know there were reports that, you know, Jair wasn't really talking to his head coach. Maybe this is a move that kind of gets his attention to say, listen, you know, you're still a very valued member of this team. We know what you can provide on the field, but we kind of have to straighten some things out. But let's just start at, you know, ground zero again with our relationship and better this thing moving forward, because this team is better with Jair Alexander on the field. But it also does kind of help them that they have these young guys, Carrington Valentine, Corey Valentine, on the team that can step up if need be, if Jair is not on the field. But again, I'm excited to see Jair back on Sunday, but now it's kind of what do they do in the offseason? How does that relationship manifest itself once football is done this year?
All right, back with more Lily Zhao in just a moment here on Locked On Packers. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. The regular season is wrapping up, but there's still time to get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. In fact, I had my best weekend of the season last week with our friends at FanDuel, including my moneyline bet on the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay 3-point favorites with our friends at FanDuel. It opened at 3.5, so that line has come down. People like in the Chicago Bears, we will see about that. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, baby. Live same game parlays, find bets in the new Explore Hub. Find it all the time. Hey, that's a good idea. I like that. Oh, let me tweak this little bit. Make a parlay in the Parlay Hub. The best way to find popular parlays. So visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and make your best bet a layup. That's a basketball pun on a football show. You love to see it. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. And thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. Locked On Sports Today is here for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with the local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports Today on YouTube and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel.
There's a lot of things I want to ask you about this. Do you buy the idea that this one game suspension can reset this and get them back to the right place? Because the thing I'm most concerned about is Jair Alexander playing well on Sunday, because if he does, historically, he has been one of those guys who has gotten after Justin Fields, and you know he's got to be licking his chops going, this is the guy that I'm about to get. So do you think this can work in the Packers' favor? Do you buy that from Matt LaFleur?
You'd have to hope so, but it's a one game suspension. If the relationship at all, I'm not saying it's true, but if it wasn't on its best footing to begin with, I don't know how just a one game suspension and all of this can make it better. But I do think that maybe it's just a reset for them. And now let's see where we can go from here together as a head coach and as a player. So while I don't think it's going to be, oh, they're going to be best friends at the end of the day, maybe, again, it's just they're turning a new leaf and they're seeing where this thing can go. But maybe just saying, listen, you know, we want to get this thing right with you and let's just start this thing over again. Let's see if both parties can do their part to make this thing work. But I think what will be kind of telling is maybe towards the end of the year and in the offseason, what is done and what is said by both parties.
So what do you, there's so many tentacles here. The play of these corners, I said on the show yesterday that if the Packers had gone out and gotten torched by Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, these guys, you kind of lose the teeth of the suspension, right? Because you have a player who's clearly not doing what the coaches want of him, whether or not it's fair or whatever. We don't know the details of this, right? So it's hard to speculate, but they didn't. Corey Valentine balled. Carrington Valentine, these guys were really, really good. So do you have a thought on why you think that is? And the take that I had yesterday on the show was it was essential to get that for Matt LaFleur, for this message to land. Otherwise, you have a superstar player who gets punished and then the team stinks if they stink. And he goes, see, you need me. And it might embolden him a little bit. Give me your thoughts on any of those things.
Right. I will say just before we get into it, I want to give the rushers just a round of applause, because if they're not rushing Jaren Hall and 100%. Nick Mullins, you know, those guys could get the ball out and we might be talking about a different kind of day. But they were able to affect the quarterback enough that wasn't Kirk Cousins, and that kind of affected what he was able to do with Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson. But that being said, the times that they were thrown to, you know, Corey Ballantyne's out there making plays, and you have Carrington Ballantyne. I mean, I watched the Matt LaFleur just explosion in the locker room afterwards, you know, giving props to guys, and Corey Ballantyne and Carrington Ballantyne were two of the guys that he did point out. So the fact that when they were faced with the opportunity to get stops against those two premier receivers, they did their job. So to your point, I think it worked out to perfection, because the Packers can say, listen, we have two really good options here. Not that he's not needed, Jair, but we have options. If things don't work out together and our relationship as an organization and player doesn't work out, we can turn into a different direction. So if you want to be on this team and you want to make things work, we got to reset this and we got to get back to page one and make things better, where you're saying you're buying into the team, you're buying into me as a head coach. So I think everything worked out in the Packers organization favor to make that happen, for Jair to say, listen, while I am still a very good player, I know that there are guys behind me that can take on this role and play well.
I speculated recklessly. No, I suggested that if Joe Barry were staying, they wouldn't have to suspend Jair Alexander. But if the intention is that he is not going to be around after this season, then you have to discipline Jair in some way, because then when Joe Barry moves on at the end of the year, it makes it seem like you acquiesced to what the Packers are considering bad behavior. What do you think of my theory?
True, because, you know, whether or not guys agreed with what Joe Barry was doing, I mean, they're not going to go outright and say it. You know, they can believe what they want, but they might tell the media something different. And you kind of have to believe, just with how the scheme was, that Jair wanted more man-to-man. He wanted more opportunities to cover premier receivers. And if we're not getting it, and you're injured on top of that, that frustration does build. And, you know, you might say some stuff, you might act a certain way at practice and meetings. So for them, it's if Joe Barry is not the guy moving forward, and you can discipline your star player in that way, and hopefully he responds accordingly. When you bring somebody new in, it's kind of like everyone's starting over. And maybe that's what they wanted to get out of this whole thing.
I think that's what everyone is hoping for, maybe except for Joe Barry, of course. But it does seem like we're headed that direction. Even, I mean, for Chris Collinsworth, again, speaking of things said on air, to say there's a better chance than not that he's not the guy anymore. Like, I can't remember Chris Collinsworth saying that about anyone that wasn't like the coach of a 1-15 team in week 18, and they're probably not doing the NBC game. So it just, that struck me a little bit here. That said, though, we did see the defense play really well. The pass rush you mentioned, and the pass rush played great against the Lions, against the Chiefs in those games. Do you still think there is a ceiling here where they can play good enough defense, not just to beat the Bears this week, but then to go be dangerous in the postseason? Like, is it just fait accompli that they can't do anything against a playoff team? Because I certainly don't see it that way.
I still think they can. I just think that when they're in these bigger games where they're kind of the underdog, I just think these guys play so much better. But I think a good test will be on Sunday. I mean, literally their season comes down to it, right? You win, you win, you're in. If not, then goodbye. If they can stop a mobile quarterback like Justin Fields, who granted didn't play the best in week one, I mean, this is a completely different Bears team, in my opinion. Their defense is so much better. Montez Sweat has really elevated it. And you have Justin Fields playing so much better to prove that he's the guy to be in Chicago. So if they can make life difficult for Justin Fields, I think that that would behoove them to play even better in the playoffs if they were to win the game. But I think if they let Justin Fields run wild and they let him have a field day with his arm, I mean, you know, I think the writing's on the wall in that regard. But I do believe that this defense can play better, because we talked about it last year, right? There was a win and in situation at home against the Lions, and they just laid an egg. So they have to step up and play much better on Sunday, because their season literally depends on it.
The defense, I have to say, was pretty fine in that game. I mean, that Lions offense was rolling, and the Packers defense played decently well, though, of course, with the game on the line, they gave up the game-winning drive. The Packers also had the ball with a chance to go have a game-winning drive of their own and couldn't do it. So You know, I don't put that week 18 game last year on the defense. I put it squarely on the shoulders of Aaron Rodgers in that offense when he was healthy and they were rolling. So we'll see if they can do that this week. Hopefully, Lily, we have a playoff game to be talking about next week. But as you said, this defense has been playing lights out. The Bears defense, 16 turnovers in the last few weeks. I mean, they've just been out of their minds. Montez Sweat has added that dimension. But the Packers defense has played Justin Fields really well. And the Packers, we know offensively, they've always gotten after the Bears. So even when they were good, Bears defenses. So should be a fun one this Sunday. Lily, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Peter.
All right. Thanks to Lily for joining the show. Always great to talk with her. Back tomorrow. Lauren Cox, Locked On Packers, Locked On Bears, a crossover Thursday. It'll be fun. And we're back on Sunday after the game. It's a late afternoon game. I can't wait. National game, Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson, CBS. That part's a little weird, but a great crew. So I can't wait. I cannot wait. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live, like we will be on Sunday after the game, you can go subscribe to us over on our YouTube page so you can stay Locked On Packers.